And how do you feel about 2012? We stand here on the cusp of a new year, sharing in this day together, and I guess my question to you would be, so what? You know, some of you are probably looking forward to the new year because there's something. I don't know what that is, but there's something that you're anticipating, hoping for, looking forward to, and this is the year. Some of you probably, there's something that you know you're going to face, that you're dreading, that you're not looking forward to. There's some anxiety, some fear, and you know that this is probably going to be that year for that. But many of us probably aren't excited, aren't nervous, worried. We're just kind of, I think the thing that cracks me up, and I've been guilty of this, you know, the thing you hear most this time of year, oh, I can't believe it's a new year. Like, you know, we just went through 12 months counting down to this, and all of a sudden you're caught off guard, but you hear that a lot. Well, what I want to do today, whether you're looking anxiously towards 2012, nervously with some dread, or just kind of slipping into it after the busy Christmas season, I don't want it just to be another message, but I want us as a group, as the body of Christ, to sit down with pen or pencil, this message outline that you have, and I want this to be the start of a plan. Think of it not so much as a sermon today, as a plan, a divine plan between you and God to look forward to 2012 and what He wants to do in you and through you. And as we talk about this, you know, I just get it on the table now. I mean, can you even look forward to 2012? I mean, all you have to do is open a newspaper or look at the TV news. They just did a nationwide survey. 68% of Americans said 2011 was a bad year. That's a lot of this country that says, you know what, the year we just went through really didn't do it for me. I mean, it's like 70% of the people in this country think we're on the wrong track as a nation. The foreclosures, the job losses, the financial collapses, all the things that we've been going through for 4 years, basically. And we all know people that have been impacted terribly, negatively by this. And you think, is there really anything to even look forward to in 2012? And you better believe there is. This is what God says that you have to look forward to. For because of your faith, He has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to becoming all that God has in mind for us to be. If to look forward to a new year with anticipation and joy, if it depends upon your circumstance or the circumstances of this country, that things have to be just right and just perfect, I cannot promise you. No one can. The truth is, most of us don't know what we're going to face this year. Whether it be good that comes into our life, bad that comes into our life, we may think we know what the circumstances are going to be. We may have an idea of kind of what our plan is for the next year in whatever area of life, but we don't know what they're going to be. Some of us will be incredibly surprised in joyous ways and in sorrowful ways in this next year. But if you're looking forward, if my looking forward to 2012 is based on circumstance, then obviously, what can we look forward to? Because they're unknown. But God says, here's what you can look forward to. You can look forward to the fact that not because of your better circumstance externally, but He says you can look forward internally, intrinsically, to a better you. And God says, this is what I want to accomplish. You can look forward to the growth that I want to work in your life, the spiritual formation. You can look forward to a stronger relationship with me, the fact that I, as Creator, want to pull you closer to me this year. You can look forward to what I want to do daily in your life to grow your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ. He says you can look forward to growth in character and wisdom and conformity to Christ's likeness. You can look forward to what I want to do to you because a year is an eternity, He says, when you spend it with me. So I just want to spend some minutes this morning, right now, take your message outline, get a pen, There's four things that I want us to do together as a church family as we look forward to this new year, to 2012. These are all things that we're going to talk about, but they are things that you can start doing right now. So this is not a message. This is not a stick the outline in your Bible. This is not a, I forgot what he talked about, come Wednesday. This is a plan. And so this is what I want you to do. There's going to be some outline, just four blanks to fill in. There's going to be some space where you're actually going to have to do some work. And what is going to make a difference in your life in 2012 and in the world that you come in contact with? For God's plan starts today. So think about it as an interactive plan with God that you are going to shape and fashion as we go into this new year. And to do that, you've got to write something down. It's not just things we're going to talk about. So four things to look forward to. You see there in your blanks, first, something to let go of, something to adjust, something to do, something to hold on to. So look at your first blank. What do you let go of? To go into 2012, what do you let go of? Well, here's your first blank. Let go of your worries. Worries. And that just bugs me. You know, when people come up and say, oh, don't worry about it. Oh, just let go of it. Oh, just forget about it. God's in control. There's almost an aspect of that that kind of seems flippant, or, you know, like, oh, that's easy for you to say. You're not in my shoes, my situation. And of course, we all think of the Bobby McFerrin song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, you know. Like, that's supposed to be our life lesson. But Psalm 37 says this about worry. Don't fret and worry. It leads only to harm. So there's a danger of worry. So how do I let go of it for 2012? How does that become part of my plan with God for this year? Well, what's God's prescription? What does he say about worry? We've looked at this, but one of the great verses, one of the prescriptions that God gives us, and you've heard it before, but the great thing about an effective prescription, if I have a headache and I know that I take this pill, my head will stop hurting, I don't need a new prescription or something new. I can just know that this one works real good. And this is what God says about a prescription with worry. Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. So when it comes to worry in 2012, God's prescription, his plan for you, he's saying here, is first of all, pray about everything. Second, tell God what you need. And third, thank him for all he's done. Now, you do those three things. So you see in your outline there where it says look forward, that look forward box? What I want you to do, this is real simple. Just while I'm talking, just fill in some things right there in that space. And if you think about, pray about everything. What are some things that I'm not bringing to God? What are some things that I haven't been talking to him about? What are some things that, you know what, I really know that I need to pull God into this issue, this decision, this thought process, but I really haven't done it? And you just write that in that box or tell God your needs. Maybe you haven't been talking to God about your specific individual needs. A lot of us think, oh, we should pray for other people, and we should. But God says you should pray, you should talk to him about yourself. It's not selfish. There's nothing wrong with that. That's faith. So is there a need in your life that you haven't been talking to God about? Is there something that you really need to happen that you haven't pulled him into that conversation? Because the only way you can figure out what God actually wants to accomplish and what you need in your life is to talk to him. Maybe I think I need X, and I fill in the blank. But I don't talk to him about it, and I go through all 2012 thinking, I need this, I need this, I need this. But unless I talk to God, I don't give him an opportunity to say, you know what, Mark, you are as thick as a brick. That's the last thing you need. Here's what I want to accomplish in your life. And unless you have that dialogue, you talk to God about your needs, he doesn't get an opportunity to talk back and to teach you and to grow you. And then that third one there, you see that in the look forward, is thank him. That's part of that prescription. Pray to him, talk to him, tell him your needs, and thank him. This is something every one of us can write down. Every one of us can do more about. You look back to the last year, 2011, and you just say, what is one thing, just one, what is one thing that I can be thankful to God for? You just write it in that space there, that look forward space. If I look back to the last year, 2011, here's one thing that I can be thankful to God that happened in my life. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So this is this issue about letting go of our worries in 2012. Because don't you like the use of that in the English? Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The idea of casting, think of it in terms of a fishing pole. I love this metaphor. The idea of casting your anxieties out in a fishing pole, just to cast it out away from you, onto God, it says, because Jesus cares. And so the Bible says you have an anxiety, you have a worry, you have a fear, whatever it is, and you're not just supposed to study it and keep it close and try to figure it out. It says you're supposed to cast your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. But if you're a normal human being, I've said this before, if you're like me, what do? You reel it back in and you look at it, right? And you worry about it. And so you reel it back in the next day, you look at it again, you worry about it some more. And so what are you supposed to do? Look at that verse. Cast all your anxiety on him. And so you cast it out again. See, the key to dealing with worry, with daily worry, with constant chronic worry, we all struggle with it, okay? What do I do with my worries? A lot of us say, you know what? I got this worry. I can't get rid of it. I'm just going to cut the line. I'm going to cast it out, and I'm just going to cut the line. That way I figure I'll never have to deal with it again. I'll just cut it. But that's not what the Bible says to do. That's not the way human nature works. The way it works is I just reel it back in again so I can see it, and I look at it. So then what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to cast it back out again, and you might do this literally dozens of times. You might do it numerous times a day. When I go fishing and I cast it out, I just don't sit there the rest of the day, but I reel it back in. I cast it out. I reel it back in again and again and again. And that's what God is saying you need to do with your worries. It's human nature to worry. But what he says is every time that that happens, you just cast it out. You get rid of it. Cast it on him because he cares for you. And when you do that, the Bible says, here's what you remember. You cast it out because he cares for you. Get it away from you, onto him. And at some point, you do that enough. You know what? You'll sit there. You'll see that bobber start jiggling a little bit. Those little bait snatchers will come up and take your bait off your hook. And someday, you'll reel that in, and it won't be there any longer. And you'll say, you know what? I don't have to deal with that one anymore, and I can move on. That's exactly what God says to do. Because he cares for you, this world's not perfect. Things are going to come in your life that cause fear or worry, anxiety. We live in an imperfect world. We have anxieties. We have worries. We have cares. But God cares every time that you cast it out to him. Here's the second thing to do. So not only let go of your worries in 2012. Here's your second blank. Adjust your expectations. Adjust your expectations. Fill that in. The way that you think something is going to affect you or govern your life in 2012, the expectation that you have right now about something you're going to face or have to deal with or might be coming down the pike for you, is going to lead your life, is going to affect how you live your life. Here's the way the Bible says in Proverbs 4. Be careful what you think because your thoughts will run your life. If I have an expectation of what's going to happen, fill in the blank. You know what? I, Mark, think this is going to happen in my life and in 2012. And so in this next year, I am expecting this to happen. But then all of a sudden, I go through the year, and reality does not meet my expectation that I was looking forward to. and I'm going to get so uptight and so down because it didn't work out like I really wanted it to. And really what? The fault isn't in the circumstance, how it came to pass. The fault was in my expectation that I started the year with. So when it comes to expectation, whatever you're looking forward to in this new year, in 2012, I don't know what it is, and it's going to be different for each of you. What do you expect? Are you expecting the perfect year? Like this is it? You've been waiting for the year all your life, and now this is going to be the perfect year, and all the people in my life are going to be perfect people, and it's going to be a perfect year, just like I was hoping it would. How many of you are really expecting that? Because if you are, you're going to be sorely disappointed. There is no perfect year. There are no perfect people. So what do you do? How do I adjust my expectations? Do I, Mark, go through all of 2012 just expecting the worst? You know, I hope this happens, but I don't want to get my expectations up, so I'm just going to expect the worst, and I don't think anything. What, you know, you'll be miserable. Nobody will be want to be around you. You'll be depressing. So what do you do? Here's what you write in this box, in your sermon outline. You expect the best. I start by expecting the best. This is what I'd love for God to do in my life in 2012. And this is what I'd love for God to do in this person's life or this person's life. So I start by expecting the best in my life and other people's life. I start by expecting the best in my relationship with God. Nothing wrong with that. You expect the best. But you know what? You also realize that God works even in the worst. Whatever it is. Even in the worst of circumstances that could come my way in 2012, God still works. So if it doesn't work out the way I was hoping, if it doesn't work out the way I expected, I was told it would, if it doesn't happen like I hope it would happen, if the circumstances aren't what I thought they were going to be, it does not mean God cannot work in that circumstance or even bring good about it. And it's got nothing to do with the expectation. So that's when you adjust, the moment when you adjust your expectation. Here's the other thing you do in this plan. The other thing you do to adjust your expectations in 2012, and this is both quantitatively and qualitatively, you focus on the greatest. And the greatest in 2012 is not going to be your circumstance. It's not going to be what does or doesn't happen to you. Your circumstances, my circumstances, like the ones that happened in 2011, the ones that are going to happen in 2012, they may last this whole next year. They may last 5 years. They may last the rest of my life. But guess what? They're not going to last for eternity. The greatest, if I want to focus on the greatest in 2012, the greatest in my life is my relationship with God. The greatest in my life is the character that He's building in my life that I'm going to take to the other side of life, to eternity with me. So what I focus on is that which is the greatest. I focus on that which is going to last. I focus on the greatest. A verse to help you do this. Regardless of the circumstance in your life, regardless of it's working out just like I had hoped or not like I had planned, if I need to have a different focus, the Bible says this, Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts on what is good and true and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely. Dwell on good things in others. Think about all that you can praise God for. Be glad about it. Whatever is good, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good report, those are the things to think about. As you go through that verse, it reminds you, even in the midst of circumstance, no matter what it's like, no matter how bad it is, or no matter how good it is, I can think about what is good. I can think about what is right. I can think about God's love for me in the midst of a circumstance that He can work for good, even in the midst of bad, and I can focus on Him, focus on the greatest. So I put it in God's hand. I put my expectations in His hands, and I look forward to a new year by doing what? Four ways. One, you let go of your worries. Two, you adjust your expectations. And then three, Here's the third thing to do in your plan with God as you go into 2012. Here's your third blank on your outline. You take a step of faith. You take a step of faith. Fill that out in your blank there. Right here at the beginning of the year, right here as we take the first step into 2012. You look forward to the new year and you say, you know what? Faith has to be a big part of this new year. Best chapter in the Bible. You know it. Hebrews 11. Great faith chapter. It gives us the definition of faith and then it walks through examples in different people's lives about that definition. And here's the verse. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, you all know that verse, but unpack that. This is life-changing. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Sure of what we hope for in God. Certain of what we don't see in His love and His power and His grace in our lives, even in the midst of bad circumstances. Faith is this certainty in our lives. Faith is this is the definition of faith. My hope is in Christ, and that is sure. Even in bad life circumstances, I am certain of God's love and grace and power in my life. That's exactly what this verse is talking about. So how does faith act when you get to that definition? You see, in your outline there, those words I put in that are in your look forward box there, those are all words from Hebrews chapter 11 where the author talks about how people acted because of their faith. These are the actions that people took because of their faith that the Hebrews writer wanted to put into God's Word. And I encourage you to circle one or perhaps more of them and say, you know what, this is mine. This is what I need to take this next year as a step of faith. And, you know, a lot of people think when you talk about faith and action, it means prayer or going to church or doing something like that. And it's a lot more than that. There are literally a million ways in your life in 2012 that faith can act every day as you take a walk through this new year. And Hebrews 11 is a beautiful laundry list of how faith acts. So you look at that list and you say, you know what? Some people, because they had faith, they understood. They understood that the heavens were formed at God's command. They understood that Jesus Christ holds everything together. They understand that sometimes faith just needs to have that understanding that God works all things together for His good, for my good, even in the midst of bad circumstance. I understand that God is present in my life, even through the midst, no matter what it is I'm going through. Faith just needs to understand, and maybe that's yours that you circle. Some people, because they had faith in Hebrews 11, they offered. They gave an offering to God. They offered themselves. They offered their things in their life as a sign of their faith, their testament to God, and they trusted in Him. Other people decided because they had faith. It says they made a decision of faith. Some people built. A guy named Noah, you're all familiar with. He built this ark in the midst of a desert with no rain, and maybe God is saying, you know what, I want you to build something this year because of your faith. Maybe that's the one you need to circle. Some people went because they had faith. Abraham is living in one place, and God says, no, I want you to leave all that behind. I want you to go to another place, and he went. That was faith. Maybe that's you. Some people trusted because they had faith, trusting themselves to God. Other people blessed others. That means because of their faith in God, they were encouragement to others, a blessing to others. They encourage people. Maybe that's the step of faith you need to take this year. Some saw things different. Some refused things in their life. Moses refused all the privileges, the rights, the riches that he could have had because of who he was. Maybe you need to refuse something because of your faith. Other people persevered because they had faith. Some kept the thing they promised because they had faith. Some welcomed other people in their life because they had faith. Other people conquered because they had faith. Other people gained because they had faith. And you look at the one you circle and you think about that one that you have in your mind, perhaps an example, somebody you identify in Hebrews 11, and then you think about James 2:17. In the same way, faith by itself,
if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith without action is dead. So here's the question. Whatever this step of faith is, whatever it is that I feel I need to take, maybe from this list, maybe it's something else, what am I going to do about it? What's the next thing? What's the next step in this year that I'm going to take to do something about my faith so God can build it into my plan? Because if I don't take a step forward, if I don't take a step toward this step, this action of faith that I believe God wants me to take in this year, I am going to stay right where I am, or I'm going to go backwards. That's just the way it works, folks. Here's what Jesus had to say about it, about how much faith you need. Matthew 17:20. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Now, you all know that verse. Jesus said, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed. Now, why did he say that? Because it's not the size of your faith that matters. Do you catch what he's saying? In fact, he says, it's the size of who you're putting your faith in that matters. All of us fail at this. We think, oh, if I could just conjure up enough faith, if I just had as much faith as Bill or Bob, then I'd be a better Christian. If I could just have this bigger feeling of faith inside of me, then it would all work out. But Jesus is saying here, what's the use of that? That's not how it works. You're human. I get it. I created you. God is so great, he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, that's all you need, because the strength is in your God when I put my faith in him, not in what you're conjuring up inside. So the question is, how big is your God? The question is, how powerful is your Lord? Because your faith will be in relation to your understanding of that. So if you feel like you have a weak faith, or not enough faith, or you can barely have enough faith to take the next step, God says, fine, I'll meet you at your point of need. I can work with all kinds of hearts and attitudes and people, because the truth is in him, he's saying, that we're putting our faith in. Colossians 2:6. And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too with each day's problems. Don't you love that? I always love that verse. Kind of like the order when you're following Christ. Just as you trusted him to save you, then as a believer you trust him with each day's problems. And if you're not sure that you have that kind of saving relationship with God, why would you go into 2012? Why would you go into a next year without being sure? How do you ask Jesus to save you? You just ask him. You reach out. You receive the gift. You talk to him in prayer. He came and offered you this gift, living for you, dying for you. And so in prayer, you say, Jesus Christ, please save me. Before I go into a new year, I want to be sure. So I ask you to save me. Save me from my sins, from the wrong things I've done. Save me to become all that you've made me to be and want me to be. I don't know how to do this, but you know how to do it, and I trust that you can, because of who you are. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for living for me. And when you pray that prayer, you're baptized into him. You turn away from your old life. You start the new life. You've crossed that line. You've said, I've trusted him to save me. And then when you do that, then you can face each day's problems with him. You want to look forward to 2012? Let go of your worries. Trust in God. Adjust your expectations, trust in God, take a step of faith, trust in God, and then you do a fourth thing. Here's your fourth blank on your outline. You hold on. You hold on to God's love. The Bible says this in Romans 8. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, life can't, angels can't, demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing. So how do you hold on to God's love in 2012 in a new and fresh way? You hold on to God's love by realizing that you are held on to by God's love. You don't try and hold on to God's love by yourself, by your own strength. You realize that His love holds on to you because you're in Jesus Christ. And He says, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am held by Him. He's wrapping His arms around you. He's loving you. He's making a difference in your life. And He says, nothing can separate you from the love that I have through Jesus Christ. And so you hold on to God's love in 2012, understanding that He's the one doing the holding, and realize that whatever the circumstances in life are, you, that look forward box that you have there, write your own list of what cannot separate you from God's love in 2012, and they'll be different for all of you. You might want to write, what can't separate me from God's love? Busy days can't. Angry bosses can't. Problems with my children won't. The loss of my job can't. World turmoil won't. Personal discouragement can't. Financial loss can't. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. So what's yours? What do you need to write in there with God's plan as you go through 2012? Just write it in. It may be a little thing. It may be a thing that bugs you on a daily basis or has recently, but you write that in and you say, you know what? Because of the greatness of God, I understand that this will not keep me from holding on to His love. So as you face this new year, first you let go of your worries. Take this home somewhere. Look at it. Put it on your desk. Put it on your refrigerator. Look at it for a week or two. Every once in a while, you remind yourself and you say, you know what? That worry, I am going to keep casting it out and casting it out, no matter how many times I reel it back in. I am going to keep casting it out because I remember that He cares for me. Or second, here's an expectation I'm going to adjust. I'm not going to trust in my circumstances for the next year, whether I'm happy or not, joyful or not, because those can change, those can go up and down. I don't know what's going to happen. But I am going to trust the fact that in Christ, no matter what their circumstance, that I will be His. I'm going to adjust my expectations going in. Or third, what step of faith do I need to take? This is where you really need to work on it and keep it in front of you and keep asking, God, what is it? Give me the strength to find what this one small step of faith is that you want to work in my life this year. Or fourth, then hold on to God's love. Remind yourself daily of the fact that He loves you, that He is the one that is holding you. The fact that He loves you. And then as we think about this new year, about 2012, that we're going to walk this journey of life together through, just talk to God about it. Pray about it. In fact, let's talk to Him now about it. Father God, You encourage us to pray a prayer of faith in 2012. You look at us, and in faith You say, I really do have something that I want You to look forward to in this next year. I can look forward to less anxiety and worry and greater peace as I talk to You and thank You and bring my needs to You. I can look forward to focusing on the greatest in my life and not the circumstance, but the fact that this is short and temporal and that what You have for me is eternal. I can look forward that no matter whatever the outer circumstances, that I can take this next step of faith that You want to build into me. And Father, I can look forward to Your love, that nothing, nothing can separate me from Your love. So in faith, we look forward.